You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Ladies and gentlemen, to the second hour of the Rural Survival Show. Today is Saturday, October 5th in the year of our Lord, 2019. We've got Lori back the show finally, and I'm very happy for that, and I'm sure Rick is too. Right now we're talking to Jerry in Texas on line one. Now, Jerry, go ahead with what you were talking about with humanure.
Well, humanure, when I first started reading and looking at it, I thought it might be to catch nail. Your studies are showing you do not put it on crops or plants that grows edible food for human consumption.
Right.
I tend to agree. There's some systems being set up here in Texas, especially where the percolation of the soil is poor to the point that
right.
A septic system, normal septic system, will not work. And basically what they're doing is they've got a holding tank that everything goes into, and then it's got a pump with a grinder that grinds up the solids and puts it over in another tank. It adds a chlorine solution, and then they go out and irrigate a portion of your yard or your pasture with it, and they say it's safe. folks, I don't know. A composting toilet, if you want to do anything, I'd say that, because it's designed to separate the solid from the liquid, and there's pros and cons, but I'd go with that if y'all looking at something like that. But I'd think long and hard before I put it on my plants for human consumption.
Well, I agree with you.
Yeah, and there's a big deal. I know out in California they're hauling that sludge out into, India area, about 18 wheeler loads, and putting it up there and letting it decompose and then selling it for yard fertilizer and field fertilizer. I don't know if it's still going or not. But
do you know, if I was going to put out anything like Weed Be Gone or something, I get a lot of static from my wife because she doesn't want the grandkids playing out there where I put, like Weed Be Gone or something on some broadleaf weeds or whatever I got. I may also not want the grandkids playing in humanure either. I mean, that's
right. Exactly.
About that, I find a little disturbing.
Well, folks, look at it this way. Weed Be Gone, I haven't looked at the label on that, but most of your herbicides and insecticides, the instruction on use rubber gloves, use a respirator when handling this, and you
rubber
dilute
boots.
It to a certain percentage, and then what they
right.
say, destroy the container properly when it's empty. Do not reuse very...
Right.
or take it to a proper disposal place. So, hello. If it's very dangerous in at a full strength, I'm still not sure that I want to be messing with it in a what's considered a safe environment. Because how many times do I have to consume that percentage or that solution before it becomes toxic? Same way with our water system.
They had Roundup lawsuits. Now they've got weed killer lawsuits. I think it's the same general. I think it's the same general chemical. It's the word is escaping me, but it's just in lower quantities, I think. But
yeah, glyphosate. Are you talking about glyphosate or however it's pronounced? It's the active ingredient.
It's got it's got like three letters.
Oh,
it's not coming to me, but you can buy it at the farm store, and it's just the basic ingredient. But in certain percentages, it kills weeds. In higher percentages, it kills everything. So,
right.
Yeah. I've read an article here within the last year.
Glyphosate. That's what it is.
Yeah,
glyphosate.
Yeah, that word. Organic coffee beans has become a big thing, and I haven't had anything but organic coffee in all 2 decades, I guess. But all of a sudden, a lot of the conventional grown coffee plantations, I guess is what you call them, have started going organic. They have discovered that they can put sheep out in their orchards, and sheep are weed eaters. I mean, no pun intended. They eat the weed. Those are more of a woody plant. They like to eat looking up. They'll eat grass. They'll eat weeds. But goats are more of a brush controller. So you don't want them in there amongst your coffee. Trees.
Bushes. Yeah.
But the sheep, their primary diet is weeds. So they're finding out that they can go in and turn the run sheep in with their coffee trees. They'll eat and keep the ground groomed. And they, they bag it, they compost it, and they redistribute it all in one little mechanism. Amazing, folks, isn't it? They say they're cutting their cost.
The backside. It's great.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. Concept, you know. But their cost of producing that bean has dropped tremendously because they don't have the fossil fuel burning equipment, which a sheep they're eating the plants, I guess you'd call that fossil burning, their cost has went down tremendously, and they can go with a transition or organic classification because they no longer have to use all these harsh chemicals to control things, and they say the production's going up. So,
you don't want those chemicals under the trees either.
Exactly.
No.
Again, systemic. Folks don't know what systemic weed killers are. Herbicides. It picks it up in the roots. It goes all the way to the tip of that plant and into the fruit or the vegetable that you're eating.
As we have discussed here, a lot of people are knocking their crop down in the end by spraying it with Roundup. And then they harvest that and take it over to the mill, and then you get that in your cornflakes. This is nuts.
Yeah, that way they can harvest it all at once, Rick. What they do is they're spraying the grains to kill it all, and then it all dries, and they can get it all at once. Yeah. That's the reason. I'm not saying it's right, but that's the reason they do it.
Well, no, that's the reason. Right. If you don't get your moisture content down under 1.5%, you wind up with mycotoxin. That grain's got to go in dry. So you can see why they're doing it. I just don't want to eat it.
Right.
Even at 1.5% or ever little percentage of moisture that you have in your grain, and this is not just your cereals like your oats and barley and this sort of thing. It also goes to your corn and your milos, maize, and whatever, is point of a percent of moisture in there, they dock you.
Yes.
Take a little bit off the patch. Yeah. Desiccant. Yeah, if you harvest that stuff with too much moisture content and put it in a silo, all of a sudden, you got smoke rolling out of the top of it. because it's too wet, too green, and it will get hot, and it will self combust.
Start composting, right?
Same way with your wood chips and this sort of thing. You go and buy you a bunch of freshly chipped, fresh wood chips, pile it up real high, let it set over the winter. You go out there and start scattering it. You don't even have to let it set. Matter of fact, the neighbor set the pasture on fire about a mile away from me.
Actually bursting into flames, right?
Yeah.
Spontaneous combustion. You start stirring it up, and oxygen gets to it. It's so hot, and all of a sudden, you got flames, right. You know?
Oh, yeah.
You know, then call 911, you know. I just wanted to weigh in on this using a human body waste for fertilizer. Proceed with extreme caution on that because the pathogens in it, they say, well, after it gets up to whatever temperature it is, I don't remember now, it kills all the pathogens. Yes, maybe, but maybe not. Are you going to go out there and put a thermometer in the pile of it to see that it gets up that high temperature and remains that way for a certain length of time? You're going to go out there and stir it in?
I think isn't that what nurses do anyway? Hey, the other thing, and now turn your head and cough. Now, you know, the other thing I want to say is, you know, we're really not picking on that poor lady from the Northwest.
No.
I see where she's going with this, but at the same time, you know, look, if you're lucky enough to have animals, or if you know somebody that does, or you can drive to a small farm nearby and grab a bunch of their manure or their chicken litter or whatever they got, which is basically a waste product for most folks, then I would do that before I would, honestly, before I'd agree to use human waste. I prefer to use the animal as the composting mechanism. To me, it seems like something God probably invented. So I think I'd probably start with that.
You think? Yeah. Okay, word of caution on going and picking up stuff. If you can, shy away from sale barns, feedlots, and dairies, because those three places, the animal waste is going to be full of antibiotics.
Yes.
Right.
So, I was just getting ready to say that, Jerry.
Be aware of that. If you're a hobby farm or just old Farmer Joe that's down the road that's got a barn he's not in a big commercial turnover.
Right.
You know, bring them in, feed them out, fatten them out, and sell them. A half a dosage of antibiotics will increase the growth rate on an animal tremendously. People don't realize that.
Yeah. Well, I'd be more worried about the hormones than I would the antibiotics, because the antibiotics do break down fairly quickly.
Some of them do,
Well, that's true, I guess.
They use a tremendous amount of on beef production here in Missouri. They use a lot. I don't know if they do anymore, but back when my friends were young and working on the farms, they were giving the animals regular injections of hormones, and there was some of the biggest football players I've ever seen came out of that area.
Rick, there are programs for ranchers. And raising beef for vaccinations, inoculations, and certain hormones that you start when they're less than a month old, and it's a scheduled protocol that you give them up to 6 months or something like that, and you've got to document all that. And once you do, that animal's supposed to be worth more than one that you just put out there beside its mama and let its mama feed it and take care of it. If it needs some kind of attention because it's got a runny nose, you tend to. But this is an actual protocol that you document. So you've got, quote-unquote, healthier beef because of all this stuff. And the feedlots and the slaughterhouses will pay more for that than you will with a grass-fed, supposedly grass-fed cat. But I've got an uncle that participated in that. I speak with some limited knowledge on it. But
one of the most interesting things I've ever seen around here is there is a my brother-in-law has got a cousin Ralph, who owns one of the largest pig farms in Missouri. This guy has got an operation going, and his biggest customer is farmland. I do love me some farmland bacon. I really like the salt and the smoke in there. I think they do a good job. But in order to sell the farmland, he has to document, like show dogs. You can't believe. He's got to know which pig is breeding with which pig, and he's got to have all this written down in this ledger. You can't just turn these hogs loose and let them do whatever they want to. Farmland won't buy them. They pay top dollar for these things that are documented like prize animals. It's the craziest thing I've ever seen.
Especially if you're raising breeder stock, got to keep the dam, the sire, and go back several generations. Not only that, when you weigh that, if it's pigs, you weigh that piglet. If it's a goat kid, you weigh it when it's born, and you document all the way through as what their weight gain is and various things.
Same thing with rabbits, guys.
Well, yeah, I can see that, but this guy's raising bacon.
Well, hey, that's big business. Pork bellies. Pork bellies sell for.
It is. Well, at least you know what you're eating, I guess.
maybe we don't want to know what we're eating sometimes.
I should probably say who. At least we know who we're eating.
But anyway, I just wanted, I'm not throwing disparities or anything towards the lady that called in before. I just wanted to weigh in because I have looked extensively in the compost and toilets and the human manure and various things. And like I said, I know what is left on RBN, but there was some articles by Wynn Parker. He addresses using human urine as fertilizer for supposed to be high in nitrogen and various things, and he addresses that. And I've got a lot of respect for that man. I heard that he's been called a real life Dr. House. He gets called in on cases that they've given up on diagnosis, and he's been able to help. So Dr. Wynn Parker, and he's not a young man by any stretch of the imagination. But anyway, there was something else I wanted to. Oh, if you're looking for a good fertilizer, liquid fertilizer process, take all your green clippings and your anything that's left over from your kitchen, your greens, your vegetables. Your fruit, and put it in a blender, and set you up it's a methane gas generator, basically, because you can harvest methane gas. I've been toying around with it. I haven't gotten real serious, and I need to. But basically, it is a septic tank when it gets down to it, but it's all natural stuff that you grow. It will decompose, turn into an effluent. You add it, you put it in a blender, about a cup and a quart, I guess, with water, let it up and put it in a sealed container. So you start the microbes on the breakdown, decomposition. That's the word I'm trying to come up with, I think. And basically, it turns all that fibrous stuff into fluid.
Yeah. Well, we'll finish up on that when we get back, Jerry. 1-800-313-9443. Okay. Back in 3 minutes, folks.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Welcome back to the Rural Survival Show here on RBN. We are talking with Jerry in Texas. And Jerry, you were trying to finish up your thoughts, so go ahead, hon.
Okay, I didn't mean to dominate half an hour here. But
you're fine.
There's a lot of information, again, TYU, or YTU, YouTube University, and there's a lot of articles out there on making methane gas, and basically it's decomposition of animal body waste and well, human body waste for that matter, but animal body waste and vegetation, and you've got your methane gas, which can be your primary objective, or you've got a tea and a fruit that as a liquid fertilizer is a byproduct. That's the word I'm trying. One or the other can be a byproduct unless you go at it with both goals in mind. But there is a PhD doctor over, he's an Indian in India, of course, that has done a lot of research in this, and he sets up, helps people set up systems in their at their homes to create methane gas to heat and light and cook with. And it's rather interesting. And the byproduct of that is a fertilizer tea. And they're saying if you use the vegetation, that you get all the nutrient benefits other than using animal waste, whether it's chicken litter or goat poop or whatever.
Right.
Because a lot of nutrients have been taken out of the leftovers and put into the animal, whether it be the eggs, the chicken itself, or whatever. So am I making sense?
Yeah. Now, I got a question for you, Jerry. This methane they take off, do they have a way of compressing it?
Tim, I have done a research. Yes, you can compress it, but everything that I've read, you've got to have the equipment, and the cost of compression, it's just almost cost prohibitive on a homestead situation or a hobby farm situation.
All right. I was just curious. I didn't know, and that's why I was asking.
If somebody knows more about it than I do, which wouldn't have to be a whole lot, no slam towards that individual, but I have not been able to find anything that would make it cost-effective to compress it. It would be nice, and there may be something out there. If so, please let us know. But it's amazing what you can store. If you're going to use that methane gas every day for cooking or heating, I don't think you need a whole lot of storage, Tim.
Okay. All right. I was just curious.
I want to know if there's something out there that, and I could have very easily missed it. But anyway, I'm going to let y'all get back to your regularly programmed, our scheduled program here.
We got you scheduled in, Jerry. You're scheduled. You're part of the schedule. We always leave a little gap there for that.
I had a big gap today, but anyway. Thanks for taking my call, folks. Laura, I'm glad you're back on your feed and stay in there. But y'all have a good weekend, what's left of it. And
thank you, Jerry. You too, buddy. Okay, bye-bye. Folks.
Have a great weekend, Jerry. Thanks.
All right, folks, call-in number is 1-800-313-9443. You know, Rick, I find it very interesting that methane gas can be harvested and, you get two products in one. It kind of reminds me of what they used to do down south, some of the fish houses. Now, we're talking 1960s. They would take their fish waste and do the same thing. And they would call it fish emulsion, and a fancy word for liquid fertilizer. And they would actually sell that.
They do. Inside plants, it's a reasonably mild fertilizer, well-balanced, very mild, doesn't build up salts. That lady out of the Northwest is correct about building up salts, and that's a big problem. When you're playing around with your indoor plants, if you're fertilizing your indoor plants, use fish emulsion, or you can read your fertilizer label very carefully, and they will tell you to go at 1/4 or 1/2 strength because an inside plant does not get regular rain. You do have a buildup, and so you got to
Right.
know what you're doing there.
All right, folks, we'll be back in 3 minutes. 1-800-313-9443.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
How healthy are your arteries? Deteriorating circulation has a number of early warning signs. High cholesterol, high blood pressure, fingers and or toes often go cold, arms and or legs often go to sleep, sharp diagonal crease in the earlobe, short walks cause cramping or pains in legs, memory is not as good as it used to be, ankles swell late in the day, chest pain after physical exercise or emotional stress. If you experience even one of these symptoms, your circulatory system is crying out for attention. Extendivite is a natural solution to help improve your overall health. Extendivite is not your average heart tonic. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or find us on Amazon.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Folks, this is very important information. What's to be said about CBD? AncientLifeOil.com. Our CBD is made from hemp and has 0.003 THC, which means this wonderful product won't get you high, no matter what amount you take. What does CBD do for the body? My hands are tied, but you can Google CBD benefits and be astounded. When you're finished reading, you'll want to log on to AncientLifeOil.com. That's AncientLifeOil.com and purchase. Life is good when you feel good. People are tired of pain. People are asking for non-GMO organic products to help them with, you fill in the blank. Legal in 49 states, and again, our CBD is made from hemp. Ancient Life Oil is about helping people, one by one by one. If you wonder how good the product is, the CEO takes it every day without miss. AncientLifeOil.com. That's AncientLifeOil.com. Have a great day.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
And welcome back to the Rural Survival Show, ladies and gentlemen, here on RBN. We have been talking about gardening. We've covered different subjects. Guys, I just want to mention one thing. You guys were talking about weed killer. You do know that you can take a liquid dish soap, and it doesn't have to be an expensive one, a cheap one, some apple cider vinegar and water, and mix it together, shake it up, and spray it on weeds, and it'll kill the weeds within a couple of days.
Wow. I think I've heard that, but I honestly didn't realize, you know, really think about it, Ori. I think I've read or heard that somewhere, but I guess it really does work, right?
Yes.
Cool. Well, that's Rick, what do you think about that?
Yes, yeah, I've seen that. I've seen that recipe in my particular case. It that would help, like if you're in a bed where you've got other plants, and I mean it would work for me. If you're in a bed where you've got other plants, you don't necessarily want affected by one of the weed killers or even a brush killer like right. A Roundup or something like that. Yeah, that would be good for general use out in the yard when I'm trying to control hen bit or some of these other things that are. I know there are a lot of people out there. Oh my God, you'd rather have grass than hen bit? Well, I'm sorry, but yes, I would. I paid a lot for that grass seed, and I prefer to have grass. In those
right.
areas where I've got grass and I don't want hen bit is incredibly invasive. Yes, it is edible, and in a grit-down situation, in desperation, I'll probably eat it. But, you know, until then, I'm going to probably try to keep it out of the yard as best I can. But, hey, once it's here, once you've got it, you got it, you know. So I'll always be fighting with hen bit. But, no, that's, yes, in targeted areas, I like that. They've got those $3 sprayers, those bottles that hold, like, what is it, 26 ounces. And you can adjust the tip to the point where it basically sprays a straight stream. And you
right.
can walk through beds and just hit targeted plants. And, yeah, I do like that. I do
hey,
like
Ken
that.
Said,
it's fun, too.
Rick, I just one thing real here, real quick. Ken just sent me a message. It says
yeah.
the higher the acidic percentage in the vinegar,
yeah.
the better it works. Industrial
right.
strength cleaning vinegar works best. And that makes sense
oh.
to me.
Yeah. And a lot of people in my family like cleaning with that as well. Cleaning wooden floors and stuff. They say it works like a charm. I could see that. With respect to pest pressure on your food crops, it's a real issue. You know, once we get away from things like bugs, which do minimal damage, I have lost half of my watermelon radishes and half of my daikon radishes to deer so far in the last 30 days. I don't know, probably some regular listeners would remember that I said I was putting them in, and I did. And those that have been on the, if I don't keep cinnamon and cayenne on those things, if the rain rinses it off, the deer are right back. Last night, I shot three of them with birdshot, number four birdshot. But they'll be back in a week. They'll be back. So with respect to that, I want to suggest that.
Well, there's your mistake right there, Rick, using
yeah,
number four birdshot.
Yeah.
You know,
right.
that 17 HMR would work much better as long as you got a few cases of canning jars and some freezing space.
Well, trust me when I say, I sort of did it with that in mind, and that is to say, I do want them to come back after I've got a doe tag, and I'm going to use that doe tag, and I will use 17 on their little noggin, and they will go in the freezer. But what I want to say about that is, you know, with respect to storing things like NPK fertilizers, and, you know, it takes more of a balanced fertilizer, like a 12-12-12 or a 16-16-16 to make the mitlyva mix. This 6-24-24, of course, would be much better for nightshades, potatoes, and stuff like that. But in
right.
addition to that, I'm going to hook up the trailer and buzz on down to the MFA, the Farmers Mutual, and grab, I don't know, let's say half a dozen or 10 kettle panels, because what I've noticed is in those areas where I've got cattle panels surround, I have no deer problem. They do not, they could jump it, but they just don't. They just walk around, and, you know, if they can't get to my crop, they're happy to eat whatever they can get to. So,
right.
you know, in a grid-bound situation or in any situation where you were planning on not feeding the animals, do not feed the animals. You know, when you want that food for you and your family, you know, the cattle panel thing is a good deal, because if you, and T-posts, it's not just a panel. You're going to
right.
need some decent T-posts. And I would also highly suggest that you spend the extra $19.95 on a driver, on a T-post driver.
Is there any other way to do it?
Yeah, I've seen people get up on a ladder and start taking swings at it with a sledgehammer, and you talk about pathetic.
That's silly.
By the way,
who in their right mind would do that?
Well, I keep seeing it. I don't know. I need to check and see if these people own firearms. But get a driver, and you'll never believe me. It's a big, if you've ever seen a T-post driver, you know what it is. If you haven't seen one, go ahead and get one. You'll never be sorry you owned it. Which all you got to do is drive some T-posts in the ground in a straight line, and just wire tie your cattle panel to it, and you got 16 feet of instant galvanized fencing, and it would be, I think it's a little taller than 4 feet. I want to say, what is it, 54? Maybe I can't.
Oh, wait, look, one. I got some land right here, or not land. Well, I can't see it.
They come in different sizes, but the ones most common here are 16 by like 4.5. So that's not a bad fence, and they're heavily galvanized, which means those are going to last you a lifetime anyway. And I know we've talked about cattle panels before, but what I'm talking about here is if you're not going to use them right away, go ahead and set them up against a tree or something out of the way. And, you may find yourself in desperate need. A cattle panel is about $20, and a T-post is around, a good T-post is around $6 or $7.
Yeah, it might be six or seven now. When we first bought this farm, I bought 3,000 T-posts, and occasionally I've needed two or three more. And I think the last ones, the last six-footers I bought were like $550 each. But I try to reuse them.
Well, if you can get them out of the ground,
let me give people a tip on how to do it. It's actually quite very simple, Rick. All you need is like a tractor jack or one of the old car jacks, that has the foot on it and it's a straight rod with, one of the old ones, not one of the scissor jacks. And you take a piece of chain, you wrap it about four times around the T-post, you hook that to the tongue on the jack, and you can pull them out, unless they're really buried in rock. You can pull them out every time without bending them.
Yeah, that's the thing. If you hook them to a piece of equipment and just pull, you're going to twist them, and then they're just about useless. Well, what we've been doing is just taking an 8-foot 2x4, going about 6 inches from the ground, wrapping the 2x4, closer to one end, 1/3, 2/3, with some paracord, and then just put something under the short end of that and pull up on the long end. You're going to get a couple thousand pounds of force. You may have to retie once to get that thing all the way up and out of there, but it is quick and it is effective. But if you put in like four of those, because the cattle panel is very thick metal, you don't need a bunch of them. Put in three or four of those, and then you've got like in a few minutes, you got 16 feet of fence. And, that's a great thing. And you can move it around. If you need to move it for some reason, you can move your fence. No big deal. I would highly
suggest. And if you bury it a foot to 18 inches, Rick, it'll also keep hogs out. But you got to bury it. Well, you can't set it on top of the ground.
We don't have that issue up here, but some down south, I'm sure they do.
You ain't kidding.
I'm all for bacon, and I don't care. I don't care free bacon. I don't care, frankly, who's been mating with who. I will still eat that thing.
We don't have them right here yet. They've come through once or twice, but we're not infested with them. There's an old town called Bunker about 25 miles up the road, and those guys, they are having to kill them daily. They're just thick up there.
Well, part of the problem with that, and, I have it around here, we got deer thick as flies, we got more deer than flies now. It's going to be a part-time job for you, just cleaning these things and disposing of carcasses. and processing the meat. You know, there's just almost too many of them. But you know, in a grid down situation, you'd have more time and more help. Not to change the subject, but I need to mention something interesting here about squash and sunlight.
Go for it.
Those people who listen know that I have been having an absolute fit growing squash. They seem to, no matter what I do, I have a fit with things like the powdery mildew and whatever the other one is that's just about as bad. I've been growing them on an arch cattle panel, which gets about half a day of sun.
Right.
I wanted to, when we talked about a month ago about putting in some fall crop, I had some packages of patty pan squash. And a patty pan squash looks like a little Sputnik satellite. And so it'd be like it's a summer squash. It's not a storage squash like a pumpkin or a butternut squash. It's a little thing. You eat the skin and all, you just dice it up and cook it with some diced onions and some butter. And it's, you know, for a lot of people, it's quite the delicacy. So I planted a half a flat of patty pan squash. It's a bush. A patty pan squash is, in general, a little bush. I began to get very curious when these things started. Oh, and I planted them in the full sun in a bed that used to be occupied by beets. Now, this has got a lot more sun. Sun, but a few hours more sun than the arched cattle panel arrangement. I got a little curious when they started climbing because they weren't supposed to do that. And then I realized that the so-called patty pan squash, I got them from somebody, I don't know who, off the internet. And not only are they not patty pan squash, there's more than one kind of squash in here. So, you know, I guess the lesson is twofold. First of all, beware of where you get your seed. You want to get it from somebody you can trust, like a Baker Creek,
right,
Hoss, or somebody you know. And so now I've got things growing that I don't even know what they are. One looks like a big teardrop kind of thing. Yeah, but they're climbing the fence all around, so I know they're not patty pan squashes at all. And the other ones look like culinary winter squash, the Marina del something. Either that or it looks like some form of a turban squash. And I'm fine with all this. I'm fine with it. It's great. It was not what I meant to do. But the good news is two things. First of all, it is yielding food. And the other great thing is that I have discovered that a lot of my problems, and I've been keeping copper, Haas Tools liquid copper on these leaves, and I'm having almost no leaf damage. So between the maintenance doses of liquid copper and the new location, I am for the first time having success growing squash. I think if I would just get off my butt, well, I shouldn't say that, if I would get some of these other tasks out of the way, some of the maintenance tasks that I absolutely have got to take care of, and put down the drip tape that I bought like last January, which I've got like a half a mile of Haas drip tape, if I would put these beds on drip tape and quit overhead watering them, I think I could really do something here. You know, keeping more of the water off the leaves, you know what I mean? And that
would be.
And that's a bit of a problem. You know, if you're trying to control leaf fungus, leaf mildew, or anything like that, and you're sprinkling, you're just adding to it. You know, you're putting out the fire with gas. And so what I'm doing is I've got another bed that gets even more sun. It's like all day sun. And that will become the winter squash bed next year, and that'll be on drip tape, and so I think that plus regular maintenance doses of copper spray I'll bet you next year I get away with growing some squash, and that's going to be fun because there are a lot of wonderful culinary squashes that you just don't see for sale in stores.
Right.
They've got the same two or three. It's always going to be butternut and acorn squash. You know, those are your winter squashes. This time of the year, this is funny to me, you go down to our high-class supermarket, the one where everything costs two or three times as much as Aldi, you go down there, and they'll have a big display of all kinds of weird winter squashes out on the front porch. And a lot of those, if you know what you're looking at, are some of the all-time culinary favorites that they never sell.
Okay, Rick, we'll let you finish up after the break, buddy. We don't have any time for any more calls, folks, but we will be back in 3 minutes.
The reviews for Extendivite are amazing. Here are some from Amazon. By Christine, great for heart palpitations. By Anne, before I started using this product, every afternoon, my ankles and my hands would be swollen. That doesn't happen anymore. So if that part of their advertising is true, I have to assume that the rest of it is also. Not to mention that when I had my yearly blood test, only a few weeks after beginning to use this product, my cholesterol had dropped over 30 points. I'm going to continue to take it. By Croc, I love this product. It really works. By Brad, works great, thank you. Tell us your story. Get your Extendivite today. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Okay, we are back, ladies and gentlemen. We don't have time for any more calls, but we're going to let Rick finish up his thoughts and then Lori, and I really don't have any closing thoughts, but go ahead, Rick.
I'll be quick about it. Next week, we can talk about hot water cornbread and hardtack. These are kind of unleavened you know, everybody should know what hardtack is, but it's a sea biscuit. It's basically all it is an unleavened bread that's had the moisture removed so that you can store it and walk with it and keep it. And talk about jerky. I want to talk about next week. I want to talk about goji berries. You know, if you're trying to plant something sustainable there on your property or in your backyard, goji berries is the new superfood. Goji
okay.
berries, very easy to grow, very prolific. And one more thing, if you want to see something hilarious, go to YouTube and look at this gal named Mary. She's talking about the new carbon fiber guitar. You're going to want to see this. It's one-piece carbon fiber, and the sound is insane, and it's got an internal chorus pedal so that when you're playing, you actually sound like two people. It is really something to see. It is.
Oh, cool.
You don't have to, there's $700. You don't have to buy one, but it doesn't keep you from looking at them. Just YouTube the carbon fiber guitar, and I do think it's going to be, you know, 5 or 10 minutes of fun if you want. Those are my closing thoughts.
Okay, worried.
Carbon fiber flute.
There you go. Just hope everybody has a safe weekend. Remember our military personnel. And I'd like to thank our sponsor, Extendivite. If you haven't tried it, you really should. Yes, I have been sick for the last couple of months, but my blood pressure was only 112 over 82 yesterday at the doctor's office. So, you know,
that is
that
good.
Does help. So, other than that, you know, everybody stay safe.
All right. Well, folks, we'll be back same time, same channel next week. Rick has already told you what most of the subject matter is going to be. One thing, a political thought, it has nothing to do with gardening. There's an old saying that where there's smoke, there's fire. Well, I don't see that in politics anymore. What I see is one party to the other throwing a smoke bomb in the other guy's house and calling it a fire and screaming fire, when in reality, there's nothing there. So just a little food for thought. I don't care which side of the political aisle you're on. Both sides are doing it. The only thing I'll say as far as preference in the 2020 elections is, if you don't want to vote for Trump, make sure you've got a good alternative, because everything I'm seeing from the other party scares the living hell out of me. All right, folks. I hope everybody has a nice, fun, safe weekend. We'll be back same time, same channel next week. And pray for the president, folks. And may God rest the souls of President Jefferson Davis and General Robert E. Lee. Bye-bye.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855, the number 2.